Okay, so good morning and welcome to more of studying the Bible, more continuing to move through the text. And as I said, this week we are going to be in this narrative where the Israelites have left Egypt, but they're not quite to Sinai yet. They have not yet received the Ten Commandments and the law. So this is a really fascinating passage of Scripture and a really important portion of Scripture, and a lot of times it's overlooked. But we are in chapter 16 today, so go ahead and pause this audio, read the text, and then unpause, and we are going to move through this like grease lightning. Okay, so here we are in chapter 16. So we have to ask the easy questions, and these questions are quite easy as we move through. And the first question is, who? Who is involved in the story? Well, the main characters are, of course, the Israelites. We have Moses, we have Aaron, we have Yahweh, and that's pretty much it. We also have animals in the text, okay? So we have that. Now, where is this happening? Well, they journeyed from Elim into the wilderness of Sin. So Sinai gets its name from being the desert or the wilderness of Sin. And so they're there. The wilderness of Sin is between, the text tells us, it's between Elim and it's between Sinai, Sinai being the mountain. And so they're there. This is, and then when is this happening? Well, this is the 15th day of the second month after their Exodus. Okay, so the text right there in verse 1 gives us like everything we need to know about the background. So we know who is here, we know where this is, and we know when this is, okay? So the question is, what is happening? So let's move through this text rather hurriedly, and then we're going to get to the why part of this text. So what is happening? So the Israelites are, they're there, and the Israelites murmur against Moses and Aaron, and they're saying, if only we died by the hand of Yahweh in Egypt, because we sat by pots of meat and we ate bread to the full, but you brought us out to the wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Okay, so they're belly aching. Okay, they're constantly whining about what they don't have. And guess what? I constantly whine about what I don't have, right? Like, if you read Exodus, and I kind of alluded to this yesterday. Well, I didn't just allude to it, I said it. If you read the text and you look at the Israelites and you say, oh, those Israelites, those are such jerks, and you don't see yourself reflected in the Israelites as a Christian, you're reading the Bible wrong, right? Like, the Israelites are a foil. And we're supposed to see ourselves in them. We're supposed to see how poorly we do at following the Lord and trusting Him. We're supposed to see that. If you don't see that, you're reading the Bible wrong. You're failing to see this obvious lesson, which is that we all fail to follow the Lord. Okay, so anyways, not going to camp out right there for right now, but what are they saying? They're saying they want food. Okay, well, that's a reasonable thing. Again, it is not unreasonable to say that we're hungry. Like, the Lord knows that they're hungry. Like, go to the New Testament. You know, what does Jesus say? Don't say, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For your God in heaven knows you need these things. The God who made your bodies, the God who made the stomach knows you need food. The God who made the hot and cold sensors on your nerve endings know that you need clothing. God knows you need these things. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray for them, but it means that we shouldn't whine about them. Because what we see with the whining isn't them expressing need in a legitimate way. It's them complaining against God that God doesn't care about them. So Yahweh says to Moses in verse 4, he says, I'm going to rain bread on heaven from you, and the people will go out and gather. They'll gather it each day, and then I'm going to test them. Are they going to walk by my law or by not? Because on the sixth day, I will prepare. They'll prepare what they bring in, and it'll be twice as much as they gather on every other day. Okay, so the Sabbath law is supposed to be enforced here, we see in chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. So Moses and Aaron say to the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was Yahweh who brought you out of Egypt. Like they need more proof of that. Oh, wait, the Israelites aren't idiots. We're idiots also. Okay, so we have the same problem they have, which is that we continually forget what God has done for us. We continually forget that the Lord has power to provide. And in the morning, you'll see the glory of the Lord, because he's heard your murmurings against Yahweh. As for us, who are we that you should murmur against us? So Moses and Aaron are like, why are you complaining about us? Like, we're just Yahweh's servants. Don't complain about us. We didn't do this. Like, this is what the Lord does. Okay, we're just doing what Yahweh says. So Moses says, and you will know that this when the Lord gives you meat in the evening and bread in the morning to satisfy you, because the Lord has heard your murmurings. And largely, it's a repeat of what we have in verses 6 and 7. And he says, you're not murmuring against us, but you're murmuring against Yahweh. And Moses says to Aaron, tell the whole community of the Israelites, come before Yahweh because he's heard your murmurings. Okay, so if you're not getting the point, the word murmuring is kind of an important word here in verses 6 through 9. Murmuring. Okay, so Aaron speaks to the whole community of Israelites, and they look towards the wilderness, and there the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud, and the Lord spoke to Moses. I have heard the murmurings of the Israelites. Tell them during the evening you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be satisfied with bread, so that you might know that I am the Lord your God. Okay, how many times have we heard this? We have heard this over and over and over again. This is at least the third time that we've heard this. So then in the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning a layer of dew was around the camp. When the layer of dew had evaporated, there on the surface of the wilderness was a flaky substance, thin like frost on the earth. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, what is it? Which is where we get the word manna, because they didn't know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you for food. Okay, so what is it? What is it? Sounds like manna, which is the, you know, the Hebrew word for manna. You know, what is it? Okay, so we see the idea here. So this is what the Lord has commanded each of you. Everybody is to gather what he can eat, an omer per person. An omer was a unit, I think it's about a quart, according to the number of people, and each one will pick up for whoever lives in his tent. The Israelites did so. They gathered. Some gathered more, some gathered less, and when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much had nothing left over, and the one who gathered little lacked nothing, and then each one gathered what they could eat. So God is saying, for every person in your tent, you're gonna need an omer. You're going to get an omer of this, which, like I said, is I think it's about a quart. And so you're going to get this volume. The NIV, I think, says that it's about 2 quarts. A quart, 2 quarts, I don't know. But that's a lot. I mean, like, if this is supposed to have the texture of flour, and that's a lot of bread per person. I mean, unless they're really, like, burning the calories, taking care of their livestock, like, that's a lot of manna. But Moses says to them, nobody's to keep any of it until morning. But they didn't listen to Moses, and some kept part of it till morning, and it was full of worms and began to stink, and Moses was angry with them. So they gathered every morning, each person according to what he could eat, and when the sun got hot, it would melt. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much food, 2 omers per person, and all the leaders of the community, and they came and they told Moses, and he said to them, this is what Yahweh says, tomorrow is a time to cease from work, it's a holy Sabbath, so whatever you want to bake, bake, whatever you want to boil, boil, and whatever's left, put aside, and it can be kept till morning. So they put it aside till morning, just as Moses said. It didn't stink, and there weren't worms in it. Okay, so this is strange. So normally, when you try to keep over any manna, it rots. It rots overnight if you try to keep it. But when there's the Sabbath and you want to keep your manna, it doesn't rot. That's amazing. It's almost like God is able to fulfill what he says is going to happen in a way that will work. Okay, so what do we have here? We have the Lord is telling them, I want you to go out every day and I want you to gather manna. I want you to gather this amount of manna for every person in your tent. And I want you to whatever is left over, you're not going to keep it till morning because that stuff will not be good, except for on Sabbaths. On the Sabbath, you can gather twice as much manna, but you can keep it. You can keep it overnight because it will be good. And don't go out looking for manna on the Sabbath because there will not be any manna. So this is what the Lord tells them to do. Seems like a reasonable thing. On the seventh day, some people went out to gather, and they found nothing. And Yahweh says to Moses, how long will you refuse to obey my commandments and my instructions? See the Lord? Because the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why he's giving you food for 2 days on the sixth day. Each of you are to stay where you are. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed and was white, and it tasted like wafers with honey. So Moses said, this is what Yahweh has commanded. And again, he reiterates the stuff. They take some of the manna, they put it in a jar, and they're going to put it in the Ark of the Testimony. And although the Ark of the Testimony hasn't been made yet, the Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to the inhabited land. And they ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. Okay, so that's not a really super useful volume unless you know what an ephah is. Okay, so what do we have here? Well, we've gone through the text and we've seen that this is instructions about how the people are to eat the miraculous food that was given to them. Now, the issue with the quail, all right, we see in in another portion of the Exodus narratives, either in Exodus or Deuteronomy, and then also we have it in one of the Psalms. It talks about how the people were murmuring about the quail, and the people died. They died with the food in their mouth. Like the chapter 16 of Exodus kind of glosses over how incredibly angry the Lord is, because that's not really Moses' point in the Exodus. Moses' point in the Exodus is to demonstrate the patience and mercy of God despite the sin of the Israelites. The other books are focusing more on the sin of the Israelites and the punishment that comes from that sin. So Exodus is focusing on Yahweh's superiority and how Yahweh's superiority redounds to the blessing of his people. Other books of the Bible, Deuteronomy in particular, and also Numbers, is focusing on the sinfulness of the Israelites and how their sinfulness redounds to their judgment from Yahweh. Now, these things are complementary. They're not contradictory. They're not competing ideas. They're both true. The difference is that in Exodus, Moses has a purpose. In Deuteronomy, Moses has a purpose. These aren't competing purposes. They're complementary purposes. And you read all of the Tanakh, you read all of the Torah to understand all of these purposes. So in Exodus, we don't hear about the people dying with the quail meat in their mouth. Why? Because it's not advancing the purpose of Exodus. The purpose of Exodus is to talk about the superiority and the graciousness of the Lord. Now, is Yahweh still superior and gracious when he strikes down the worst of the murmurers? Yeah, of course he is. Of course he is. But that's not the point of the Exodus. So what we need to do is, and forgive me for making this little aside here, but what we need to do if we want to be serious Bible students is we have to recognize that just because something is in one text or another text doesn't mean that these ideas contradict. They complement each other. And authors have purposes. If you really want to become a great Bible student, if you really want to understand the text of the Bible, you've got to learn what each book is about. You've got to learn why each book exists. You have to learn author's purpose. Author's purpose, the divine and the human author's purposes, that is the key to understanding. Learning to understand books of the Bible and portions of the Bible by their purpose, what they're trying to communicate to us, is just as important, if not more important, than memorizing the content of the text. You can know content all day long, but if you don't understand what that content is trying to teach you, you're not going to get anywhere. If you really want to become a serious Bible student, you've got to understand authorial intent, you've got to understand author's purpose, you've got to understand where this is trying to move us. Neither Exodus nor Deuteronomy in Numbers are false. They simply give us different perspectives. And those different perspectives are there because the different books are trying to teach us different things. Okay? Now, what are we supposed to learn here in Exodus about the manna from heaven and the quail, who incidentally also probably came from the heavens before they landed and died? Okay? So what are we supposed to learn about this? We're supposed to learn that lesson that we started learning yesterday, that the Lord provides. Okay? The Lord provides. He can be trusted to provide. The Lord provides. And how do we receive that provision? How do we receive that provision? How do we receive the grace that God has for us? We receive it day by day by day by day. You cannot live on tomorrow's manna. You can't. You cannot store up grace for yourself. You cannot store up manna. You can't just be really, really holy on Sunday and hope that holiness of Sunday is going to last you through. That doesn't work. You can't live on tomorrow's manna today, and you can't live on today's manna tomorrow, right? Like, if we're going to live the Christian life, we need to be seeking God's provision every single day, because God has provision for every single day. Now, sometimes God does give us extra grace to get us through some dry spells. Sometimes God has extra grace and extra provision to get us through the dry spells. That's true. But the point is, we need to trust God to provide for us. We need to receive God's provision the way he's told us to, which is, for Christians, we need to trust God to provide us with grace through the power of his Holy Spirit by faith in Christ. Let me say that again. As Christians, we need to receive God's blessings. We need to receive God's manna. We need to receive the goodness and the provision that God has for us to help us live the Christian life every single day, by trusting God to provide, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, by faith in Jesus Christ. You need all three elements. You need all three elements. You need faith in Jesus Christ, which empowers, which enables the Holy Spirit to empower us and fill us with grace. And this happens because the Father has sent us and he has promised to provide for us. We can live this Christian life in power and in victory if we live it by faith. We have to live it by faith. We have to live it daily by faith. You have to walk with the Lord. We all do. I do. We have to walk with him. And we have to get our manna in the morning. And we've got to walk in today's grace. That's why Sunday Christianity doesn't work, friends. Sunday Christianity doesn't work because you will never get enough grace on Sunday morning to last you through till Saturday night. You just can't do it. Every day, every hour, we need to be turning to the Lord to give us strength to live the Christian life in victory. Every hour. That's why Annie Hawk sang it, I need thee every hour. Anyways, isn't Exodus marvelous, friends? Doesn't Exodus teach us so much? I'm loving this. I love Exodus. I love what Exodus teaches us about the Christian life. Anyways, we are going to continue in Exodus tomorrow, and I hope you'll join us again then as we continue to take the Bible 15 minutes at a time. Thank you. God bless.